Hello and welcome to Around the Corner. I am Matt Schlichting, joined as always by Brian Heminger. Brian, we have minor league baseball.
I may or may not be watching four separate feeds at the same time.
As you are entitled to do, we have gone far too long without minor league games to talk about, and the time is finally here.
Yeah, basically as we're recording right now, the day one of minor league baseball has already been completed. We're on day two, and it's so fun. Oh man, I'm having a blast. Like, a lot of excitement already. And a lot of really interesting performances. I mean, there's just a lot to talk about. If you didn't read my first minor league recap of the season, we had Akron walk off with a 3-run home run in the bottom of the ninth inning to win its first game. Oscar Gonzalez hit that. Lynchburg won like 16-3. And Columbus also won like 6-3. So Cleveland affiliates went 3-1 on day one. So really, really great start to the season. And they're looking pretty good today, too. As we're speaking, Lake County's up 2-0, looking for its first win. Logan T. Allen, the other Logan Allen, as he is referred, but he may be becoming the Logan Allen if he keeps this up, has 5 shutout innings with 8 strikeouts, just allowed his first hit and walk of the game in the 5th inning. So he had 4 1/3 perfect innings to start his professional career. So that's pretty good, I'd say.
It's encouraging for sure.
Yeah. Columbus tied. Akron's up 2-0. And Lynchburg scored 7 runs in the first inning. They're doing great again after scoring 16 the day before.
And I know we're really excited to keep everyone up to date on how the seasons go for all of the affiliates. You can always check out coveringthecorner.com for our minor league recaps. I believe those are daily, except
they are daily.
Yeah. And mostly you, I will be grabbing Saturdays again this year. And the hope is that I'll be able to go to a Friday night Clippers game often enough to be able to do like a next morning recap of the actual game. I think it'll be
that
kind of fun.
That would be sick. And I can tell you right now, they like Covering the Corner enough to give us media access. So,
well,
I got press credentials the last time I went to a game, got to interview Adam Pletko in the dugout before the game.
I will have to discuss this with you further offline to figure out the details for that.
Yeah, that's cool. You got to just chill in the press box, cover the game. It was a lot of fun, actually.
You don't have to sell me on getting credentials, Brian. I'm in. Trust me. I'm worried about acting responsibly enough once I get them.
That's true. Yeah, there is, you have to follow a little bit of protocol, standing ovations and cheering and stuff. Yeah, but let's talk minor leagues. I mean, it's great to see the affiliates off to a good start, but there's several things that we do need to address. I think let's talk how the rosters are constructed, because I mean, the actual rosters were released very close to the start of the season. So we really hadn't had a chance to even talk about it last week because they were keeping players at the alternate site. You didn't know if everybody was going to be going to Columbus, Akron, where the players were going to end up in. I guess it's going to be low A and high A now, not just like back before when we had Mahoning Valley as a half season. I called that low A. And then I would call the first full season just single A.
Right.
And then I would call the next one high A. But since there is no like half season single A, I guess we'll just have to do low A, high A now for the full season. So just to make it easier.
I love that the systems are still a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. Especially in the context of the fact that if you go back far enough, there's like B ball. And I think C-ball. I remember this from a book called Maniac McGee that's for children. It's a very good book, by the way.
Yeah.
But it occurs to me that maybe I should do more research than a 30-year-old Jerry Spinelli book. Anyway.
But yeah, in terms of roster placements, I think there are a couple things that stood out to me. Number one is there were 3 college pitchers that Cleveland drafted in the 2020 draft. and they all got placed on High A Lake County.
Who are these special college arms of which you speak?
One of them is the one we just talked about, Logan T. Allen. He is also a left-handed starting pitcher. He's only like 1 year younger, probably a year and a half younger than the Logan Allen that we acquired from the Padres in the Bauer trade, who started the year in Cleveland's rotation, but is now in the Columbus rotation. So this is going to be very confusing because they are right now two levels apart. And if Logan T. Allen continues to pitch the way he's pitching tonight, they may be like on the same team soon. So that could be a little confusing. So Logan T. Allen, Tanner Burns, who was our first round competitive balance pick, I believe. He also is on that High A team in Lake County. And then our fifth round pick.
Fifth round pick, Mason Hickman, I believe.
Yes, that's the one. Thank you. So three of our picks from last year had never pitched at pro ball because there was no 2020 season. And they immediately are starting them at High A, which is, that means they must really think highly of them. And judging by what Logan T. Allen is doing tonight, they may be right.
Another thing I noticed in here is that we apparently have a pitcher named Hunter Gaddis.
Yes, I was really excited to see what he can do because he had great stuff and he looked pretty ferocious in his debut back in 2019. And he also started on High A Lynchburg and did not have a good start in his 2021 debut. He got rocked, actually. So that was, I think he gave up like seven runs. So
definitely some arms here to be excited about. But
oh, absolutely.
I think I'm even more excited about the guys who are playing the field for High A.
Yeah. High A, that's where like all the stud international players that we've, you know, been having the hype train about. You've got Brian Rocchio there. You've got George Valera there. You've got Aaron Bracco there. I mean, that team is loaded. I think Jose Tena's there. So I think all four of those were in the same international class, and they're all like 20 years old. Really, really, really exciting young team. So I can't wait to see what they do, which is, it's hilarious that they were the one team to lose on day one, too.
Figures.
Of course.
Three of the top 10 prospects as voted by fans on the website.
Yeah.
All playing in the same place. It's a lot of fun.
On the same field, not just, a combination of like pitchers and stuff. It's basically an interesting combination of like young international prospects in the field and then seasoned college arms debuting in the pitching staff. I'm really intrigued to see how that team ends up working out.
And then maybe Quinton Holmes figures something out.
Yeah. I mean, he was another high school player. Hasn't really been able to perform yet. I mentioned him as somebody that, I got wrong. But he is still just 21 years old. So maybe, you know, playing alongside George Valera could help him out.
And maybe that's the shot in the arm he's going to need. He sees these kids start coming up and goes, oh shit, my days are numbered if I don't. And I'm not suggesting that he's not already working hard, but you never know with this kind of stuff what ends up motivating a kid.
I'd say another interesting roster placement, Bo Naylor. I mean, I know he's a top prospect in the system as a catcher, but in 2019 he skipped, you know, half season ball, and he was the only prep player that they debuted straight into full season Lake County, which was the middle A at the time. This year, or after the post pandemic season, you're thinking, maybe they just move him up a level, but they skips High A and go straight to Double A as a 21 year old. So he is one of the youngest players in all of Double A.
Really?
So, yeah, really, really exciting to see this young man. I know you are a big fan.
Yes. In fact, I am.
And he's off to an okay start. He had a hit and a walk in his debut game. And then he had a hit today he had a walk today, stole second, and scored on a throwing error from second base right after stealing. So,
hey, excellent.
He is doing his thing.
This is an interesting team on the whole, too, because you pointed out there's not much going on in terms of prospects for pitchers on the AA roster.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there aren't interesting things happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, the only big prospect in the Akron pitching staff is Joey Cantillo, who was one of the returns in the Clevinger deal. I'm definitely excited to see what he can do.
And because, I am not unconvinced that Juan Hillman isn't going to figure it out. He had a great season last year.
Yeah, well, two years ago, exactly. And then he comes out and throws four shutout innings in his 2021 debut. Now, he's not a guy that's going to be striking out everybody he faces. His strikeout numbers are relatively low. He's more of a pitch to contact type of guy, but he's effective. And so far has looked pretty good this to start the season. Four shutout innings with two strikeouts and a walk and just two hits allowed. Good for him.
I agree.
I'm also excited about the guy that actually came in of relief of him, who's basically like a piggyback starter, Francisco Perez. He has been an intriguing arm as a, you know, hard throwing southpaw for quite a few years. He hasn't been good enough to like get on any big prospect rankings or anything. I think that he has some really good stuff. He's thrown two shutout innings of relief so far with two strikeouts tonight. So
he's left-handed?
Yes.
And he throws hard?
Yes.
We'll hear about him.
Yeah. And now he's already at AA, so that's good. And he's still pretty young. He's only like 23. So he came up about the same. He was on the same rookie league team that Oscar Gonzalez was on when Gonzalez won AZL MVP. There are a couple things we do need to address that aren't positive.
Oh, you want to talk about injuries?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Ryan. Okay.
I know.
I'll allow it.
I hate injuries as much as anybody, but when they released the rosters, there were a few names that people are like, hey, where are these guys? Why aren't they listed right now? Where are they? What's going on with them?
Names here too, for sure.
Number one, there were two extremely notable ones who, one was Carlos Vargas, who was added to the 40-man roster in the offseason and throws 100 miles an hour. He tore an elbow ligament, I believe, and he just had Tommy John surgery. That sucks super hard. He was somebody I was crazy excited about, and we're really not going to get a chance to see him for a year and a half at least, and not see him at full strength for 2 years probably. The next one, we don't know a ton yet. All we know is Ethan Hankins experienced an elbow injury in minor league spring training at the alternate site during a game.
Is that text that you were reading from an actual like news that he experienced?
Yes.
We
don't know how serious it was, but it was serious enough that they sent him to Cleveland to get evaluated.
Someone doesn't type out the words experienced an injury unless they're trying very hard to be careful. That feels like a giveaway to me, but I guess we will wait and see.
Yeah, we'll find out for sure later on. But yeah, that's never a good sign. I hope it's not serious, but it's never good when you hear elbow injury pitcher. So the other two aren't as serious. Cody Morris got injured during minor league spring training as well. He was expected to be either in the AA rotation or AAA rotation. I believe it was a lat strain or something, and he should only miss about the first month of the minor league season and then be good to go. And left-handed pitcher Adam Scott, who has made it already to AAA and was expected to be a part of the AAA rotation, he's dealing with something minor. I didn't hear specifics, but I heard it wasn't serious, so I don't think he'll be out for too much longer. So
we got our injuries, we got our surprising roster placements. I guess all that's left is to enjoy the fucking baseball, and that's going to be great.
Yeah, starting next week, we'll be basically following along the CTC, Covering the Corner Top 20. The top 10 players will be giving you updates on how they're performing, for how their first weeks went, basically. And then we will be debuting our player outside the top 20, maybe a pitcher and hitter each, that we will be following along throughout the rest of the season. And we'll always have a chance. We previously called it the Indians in the cupboard. And we've had some pretty exciting players on there that have made it to the majors, like a Kyle Nelson and Kai Tom. They're definitely, we have some good taste in prospects outside the top 20.
They're guys that are really, really interesting to follow at the very least. So pay attention is all we ask. We will work on the name. Corner Store was a silly one that was floated before we started formally recording, but we'll do better. We're working on it.
Anything else?
How many guys? I know we had a couple of recent call-ups. Sandlin's gotten to pitch at the majors since
we last spoke. Amazing.
I don't know that he was ever, was he in the cupboard at one point?
No, because he's always been a top 20 player.
That's right. So
because he, you know, we immediately put him in like the rankings because he made it to Double A the year he was drafted.
Yeah, we've just been really high on him.
Mm-hmm.
So far as a major league pitcher, 2 games, 2 innings and a third, 2 strikeouts, no hits, no earned runs, no walks.
Yeah, he looks like he's sticking around for a long time. And, you know, if we ever get to a point where we need a 6th inning guy, since we already have a 7th, 8th, and 9th right now, it might be Sandlin. If there is anything else to bring up, we could mention Sam Henkes getting a semi-start at the major league level. He looked pretty good throwing it, you know, mid to upper 90s with his fastball with a wicked hook. I mean, I don't know if he'll be able to stick around as the 5th starter, but he's at least filling in admirably while we wait to find out.
I think that we have come to the end of this week's edition of Covering Corner.
All right.
At this time, do we feel that we're ready to hear the wisdom of poet laureate E.E. Gammings?
Lay it on me.
Setting. The Rogers Center. Marcus Simeon. You shall defeat the stadium, Thornton. Trent Thornton. Touring is not an outrage, Marcus.